Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. We want to welcome you to this December day. This will be the last show of the American College Experience for the 2013 season. As many of you know, next week is Christmas Day. Last year I had the Haynes Family Christmas Day extravaganza. I will not be repeating that again this Christmas. I'll be enjoying my family this year, and many college coaches will be doing the same. We want to welcome you to today's show. I'm very excited about today's show. I finally caught up with Coach David Roditi, the men's coach at TCU. I'm excited to have him on the program, and we're going to put him on the air here in just a little bit. He is the head men's coach there at TCU. It has been for a while, and we look forward to catching up with him. For those of you listening in for the first time today, we're excited that you caught the show. I hope that you'll listen in to future shows. For those of you listening in the podcast world, welcome back. Those of you listening in live, welcome back. I want to remind you that we do put on other shows here at the UR Tennis Network. We do a Parenting Aces show on Monday with Lisa Stone, and Lisa is an outstanding guest who is very aggressive in the guest. She's an outstanding host, very aggressive in the guest that she goes out and gets for her show, and just love having her on board the network. Hope that you'll catch her show. She's trying to help those parents in the junior world kind of navigate that world of raising a child in the USTA system. And we also have Coach Chuck Creasy, who comes on a couple of hours before my show with American Tennis with Chuck Creasy. Chuck has been doing a wonderful job now for about a year and a half, helping them navigate that American tennis world and trying to figure out what's wrong and what's right with it. Always attacking the issues and never the people. Then my show, of course, which explores the American college experience and the diversity issues which face it. Saturday morning is Infinite Tennis with Bill Patton. Bill does a wonderful job of getting in the guests to explore the coaches that are involved in tennis. Then also a Saturday afternoon we have Minorities in Tennis by Alex Chan. And Alex is with the USTA Diversity in Virginia. We're excited that he's a part of our program. So there's not a lot of college tennis news. As many of you have got to know that colleges is out. I mean, the kids are done with their finals. They're headed home to be with their families. College coaches are headed home to be with their families, to spend time at home and to take a break. And it's a well-deserved break. They've spent this fall semester evaluating new talent, working on individual games, taking these kids to tournaments, looking and seeing where they're going to fit into the spring dual match season. Looking at doubles teams, seeing if they can find the right combinations, putting lots of hours in practice and individual sessions and fine-tuning things, adding things that they know they're going to need. working on these freshmen, getting them in tremendous shape, and then getting them ready for this break and letting them know that they can't just go home and throw down the rackets for 3 to 4 weeks, that they're going to have to work out, that they're going to have to put some time on the courts and get ready for the spring season, which many of them will start earlier than the rest of the student population when they come back, and they're going to jump in. And we all know, if you've been listening to the show, tennis is changing. They're going to change some of the scoring systems when they come back, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today with Coach Roditi and see what he thinks about it. And we've got some exciting news. Coach Menace has talked about it. They're going to put forth a TV show about college tennis on the Tennis Channel in January. And Coach Roditi and the TCU program is going to be on the premiere show. And we're excited. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. We're not going to explore it too much because we're going to bring Coach Menace back on in January and let him tell us all about that TV show and what the Tennis Channel is doing for college tennis. And let me just be the first to say it's about time. That Tennis Channel has been on for a long time, and I think it's well-deserved that they start to explore these college tennis programs and what makes them tick, not only the coaches but the players and the great programs that are out there, the traditions, practices, what goes on. There are many questions, not only for recruits, but for the rest of America as far as what's happening out there. And there are some great stories that need to be told, not only at the Division I level, but at the small college level as well, that people just do not know about. And, 30 minutes to an hour's worth of programming here devoted to college tennis is a wonderful thing, and we look forward to it, and we hope that it leads to many other avenues. So, just excited as far as the direction here as to what's going to happen. So let me see here. I think that I've got Coach Roditi on the line. I'm going to try to bring him in. So if you'll hang on just a second, let me remind you, if you have a question today for Coach Roditi, or myself, and with this guy on the line, I don't know why you'd want to talk to me, but if you have a question for he or I, please feel free to call in, and that number is 714-583-6853. Again, that number is 714-583-6853. Let's see if we can bring him in. Hi, David, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Jason. Thank you for having me in the show. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm very excited to have you on today. We finally caught up with each other. First and foremost, are you on Christmas break?
Yes. I mean, that's a loose term, with recruiting, and there's always something going on. I will say guys have gone home, so everybody's home, so the team is not here. Gives a little bit of time and do a little Christmas shopping and get ready to go and recruit at some of these places after Christmas.
Right. Now, there have been some big tournaments, down in Florida, the Eddie Herr and the Orange Bowl. Were you out there in Florida?
Yes. Mark Chia, our other tennis coach, and myself, we were both down there, and it was good timing with the coaches' conference and making all the changes for the new format, and a lot of talk about the college world that I'm sure we'll be talking about. So yeah, it was great to see a couple of Americans playing each other at the end of the Orange Bowl. That's always a good thing.
Yes, sir. Definitely was. Now, David, I'm very familiar with you and your college career and what you did, but some of my listeners, they're just going to have no idea who you are and what you've done and how you became the coach there at TCU. So can you just kind of fill us in on the David Roditi story, please?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm originally from Mexico, and I moved to the United States. My mom is American, so I didn't have to swim, jump, or run. But I went to Southern California to do my high school in San Clemente High School, and then I went to TCU, played for the legendary Coach Barson here for 4 years. I was lucky enough to have a great doubles partner, so we had a lot of success in doubles, and became a three-time All-American in doubles with Paul Robinson. He was one of the best players in the nation. And then I had a brief and better career than I ever thought as a pro. Got to 41 in the ATP doubles tour. I wasn't quite good enough or had the finances to be doing it in singles. So I focused on doubles from day one and had the opportunity to play Davis Cup for Mexico 10 times, played in Germany versus Boris Becker. So that was a sort of a dream come true. And then as soon as I stopped, I started as a college coach at UT and then went in as an assistant. And then I went to St. Stephen's as a in the junior world, sort of a tennis academy type thing, worked as a national coach for the USDA for 5 years and back to TCU. So sort of a full circle as a tennis coach. And this was a dream come true for me to be the coach here at TCU and follow somebody like Coach Bartson or Coach Center, Joey Rivet, who's been coaching here at TCU.
Yeah, you've been a horn frog for a long time there, David. Was this something that you always wanted to do? Could you see yourself as a player becoming a coach?
Yes. There's a lot of jokes out there. I used to. Some of my teammates would say that I would actually play somebody, and if I beat them, I had the right to give them a few tips. So I guess at times I would play somebody. And then after the match, I would tell them how they can beat me the next time. So I guess I was always looking to share my knowledge. I think that's funny, but I would only do it if I felt comfortable with the person. And I always loved sort of the intricacies of tennis and the strategies. I'm 5'6", so I felt like if I didn't understand the whole game and how to beat somebody who's better than you, I wasn't going to be successful. From a young age, I had to figure. I was forced to figure things out. I wasn't going to just hit somebody off the court. I had to figure that. So I think tennis is the best sport out there, and I love what it's done for me, my life, and my peers.
Now TCU's gone through some conference changes since you've been associated with the program. Can you kind of share the changes that it's gone through while you've been there?
Yes. Yeah. I graduated in 1996, and that was the last year that we were in the Southwest Conference. And the Southwest Conference, I would say, it's like the Big 12 now. So I never really quite experienced it like other staff members have here at TCU, but as an alumni, I saw us go to the Mountain West and the Conference USA and some other conferences that we were just, we got left out. We got left out in 1996 when the new Big 12 Conference was formed. I'm not 100% sure why we got left out. I think there were some politics involved, as you can imagine. And then our athletic directors that we've had since, and especially Mr. Chris Oconte, that was one of his big goals, is to get TCU back in that national conference scene. And he did a great job a couple of years ago to get us invited back to the Big 12. And obviously the success that we've had in football with Coach Patterson and in baseball, Coach Schlossnagel, they've done a great job to put us in that national limelight, which is, you know, with football and baseball and winning the Rose Bowl. So that, as you know, college football rules college sports, and we were lucky enough to have Coach Patterson and the community rally behind it, and that helped us get back to the Big 12. So we're ecstatic to be here, and now we got different challenges ahead of us, and we're ready to take it to another level.
Right. Now, how many students are there at TCU, David?
We have 9,000 students. 9,000 students and 8,500 undergrad and 1,500 graduate students. So it's sort of a small, medium, private school here in Texas. You can compare it to a USC or Vanderbilt, Notre Dame-type schools. And our chancellor, Chancellor Boschini, is committed to keeping it at that size and keep that small student-to-professor ratio and make it individual and very personal experience.
Right, so if a student, an undergrad student's coming there to TCU, what are some of the degrees that that stand out in your recruiting that you get these kids to come there for?
Well, when you think about sort of the way TCU is and when you think about the size that we just talked about and you get that private, personal feeling with your professors, they truly do get to know you. And yet you cross the street and you get into this huge athletic department and be able to compete in the Big 12 against the huge public schools like Texas, Oklahoma State. Very few schools can offer both of those worlds, both of those experiences. A lot of the smaller schools, they may not be in a big athletic department, so they sacrifice one or the other. And we're lucky that we get the best of both worlds. Plus you get to live right here in Fort Worth, Dallas. So you're not in a small town somewhere in the middle of nowhere. You're in a big metroplex. If you're a tennis player, let's say, speaking about tennis recruits, if you come from a big city type situation and you like that, you can, you know, go do it that way here in Fort Worth, and then you got Dallas with the Mavericks and the Dallas Cowboys 20 minutes away, the Rangers 20 minutes away, or if you're kind of a small town sort of go fishing type recruit, then you can do that. You can go hunting and fishing and do all that just as well. So it's very flexible and it fits just about every possible person. You can get it done here.
Now, David, TCU has a lot of academic success. So, what degrees is it noted for?
I believe our biggest one is our Neely School of Business. It's been ranked in the top 30 in the nation. Our entrepreneur program is top 10 in the nation. So that's one of our postgraduate programs, and that's been ranked in the top 10. And so that the business school, we can compete with just about anybody. Our pre-med program is very good. We're 20% above the national average when it comes to medical school acceptance. Our engineering program, we may not have 10 different engineering programs, but the ones we do have are nationally ranked. So, and then obviously our journalism school, it's got a lot of national, a great national reputation. So those are the ones that stand out from the top of my head. And a lot of our players, you know, business school is such a big, especially for tennis players for some reason, and it has scared a few away because they know you gotta come in and you gotta get the work done. Absolutely, but you finish with a great degree. And right now, Texas being the best economy in the United States, the state of Texas is thriving with the oil and gas industry. So that's something that we take advantage of.
Now, David, year in and year out, it seems like TCU in the men's tennis program is a nationally ranked program. Is that the case? I mean, how many years have you guys been ranked in the top 50 in a row, or is it just a perception of mine?
No, I mean, it's true. We went through a couple of years where we had some sort of extenuating circumstances in the program where we had this about 4 or 5 years ago. We had some scholarship taken away. So the program kind of took a little bit of a hit during those years and kind of going from conference to conference. But I would say for 20 years, to say all of the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, we were always in the top 10, top 15, top 20. When I was at TCU, the 4 years that I was here, we finished ranked 13 my freshman year, and then we finished 7, 6, and 3. In the nation. So that's the way I see TCU tennis. This last year we were able to finish 38 after those years that I mentioned that the program took a little bit of a hit, and so we're on our way back up, and I don't see why we can't be a top 10, top 5, possibly win a national championship here in the next 4 or 5 years.
Well, But you guys have obviously moved into a stronger conference, making the move up into the Big 12. I mean, Baylor, Texas A&M, that improves over the Conference USA schedule, wouldn't you agree?
Yes, you know, in men's tennis, the schedule is not – we always had a great schedule. We have a beautiful facility. We're right very centrally located. The Dallas airport is easy to get in and out. So we always had a great schedule. Definitely the conference is at another level. Programs like Baylor, Texas, Oklahoma, all those three teams could be top five this year, if not number one or number two. They're very strong. So it's definitely tougher to win the Big 12 conference than Conference USA or the Mountain West, which we were my first couple of years here. But I believe we can do it. I believe we can do it. We have everything we could possibly offer that any other school can offer. It's just a matter of getting those key recruits to come in, and you know, they all follow each other. So,
you know, let's talk about your facility just a little bit. How many courts do you have? Do you have an indoor and on your outdoor? How does that work for you there in Fort Worth?
Well, our facility was built 30 years ago, and it's actually 22 beautiful outdoor courts, all sunken in, surrounded by grass and trees. It used to be a golf course, so you can imagine a tennis center being built right in the middle of a golf course. And we do have our own indoor courts. We have five indoor courts right here on campus. Up to about 2 years ago, we were the only university in the state of Texas with our own indoor courts. We just got all the lighting upgraded, so it's a beautiful indoor facility. And our outdoor facility, as far as beauty, when you come in, people just can't believe that this is a college facility. It's six courts all in a row with a big scoreboard. It's got all the lighting. We play a lot of night matches. I'm sure we'll talk about our attendance. We've had a great success, and I believe that one of the reasons is that our facility is just absolutely beautiful. I would say that as far as pure beauty and natural beauty, we are the most beautiful facility in the nation. And so people like to come and play us.
Yeah, well, we can jump right into that. I mean, you hold a prestigious honor when it comes to attendance at your matches. You want to go ahead and discuss that?
Yes. It's been a fun journey, so fulfilling and a dream. Sort of a dream come true. I personally love playing in front of big crowds. I was sort of described a little bit of a showman, not always in a positive way, but I was pretty emotional. So I liked when people would come and watch us play. And so from day one, Mark and I, he's also a horn frog himself. And we said, okay, we're going to make this a priority. We're going to have a big crowd, big attendance. And first thing we did was get a wonderful group of volunteers. They're called Keep It in the Purple Committee. There's about 12 of them, just personal friends and tennis fans here in the Fort Worth community, and they're amazing. They go way beyond what they should be doing, and they've really bought in, and you can imagine how rewarding it's been for them to jump in a program where we used to average 50 fans to now over 500 fans per match, and it's been fun, and I think that's been the key. And now the university, our marketing department, it's fully behind us, and our AD and my boss, Jack Hasselbrock, and Kim Johnson, they've been very supportive of all the different funky ideas. You basically take a page out of Wayne Bryan, Greg Patton type guys, and that's exactly what we created there. The crazier the idea, that the more we liked it, and we brought taco trucks right all the way up to the tennis courts and gave free tacos to people, live music during the match, funky introductions where each guy has their own song that they run down to the courts. We have Kids Day. We'll bring bounce houses, paint facing, balloon making. We'll get the mascot out here. We get the cheerleaders throwing shirts to the crowd. We've had a lot of great success getting high school teams out here. And in our sorority. We have a contest for sororities, and they get to host. Each sorority gets to host one of the home matches, and as you can imagine, how sororities are so proud of their sorority, so they don't want another sorority to sort of show them off. And they go all out, and they'll pick the theme, they'll pick the music, they'll pick all the little contests and the decorations for the locker room, the indoor courts, the outdoor courts. So it's been fun. We sort of came from an attitude that tennis was not just enough to bring people out. We're going to make it an event. We're going to make it a really fun, energetic atmosphere, and the tennis is sort of just another reason why people would want to come out to our beautiful facility, and it's worked. It's worked out. We've had the football coach out here watching matches. Our quarterback, our football players come and watch the matches. Our athletic director does not miss one of them. So it's been great support here from the school and the Fort Worth community.
David, it sounds like that your community there, your campus, really connects with your tennis team. I mean, is that what you're trying to do, is have that happen?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, in college tennis, and we'll talk about just the overall picture of college tennis these days. There's a lot of talk, and the way everything is moving towards sort of being relevant and all the other sports as well. This is not just tennis, but everybody wants to be sort of the show and get people out. And we're lucky that we're placed, that the campus is right in the middle of the nicest part of Fort Worth. We have 5 country clubs within 5-10 minute driving distance. Great relationship with the tennis pros and the members of the club. So we go out there, we go to them, we play with them, we make them feel very welcome here at our tennis matches. Full program. Coach Schlossnagel has done a great job of tapping into the community with his baseball program, and they're leading the nation in private schools attendance. They're the best private school as far as attendance in the nation, and we sort of copy them, and Coach Schlossnagel was very nice to share some of his ideas, and you just make people feel welcome, and our guys, they have a skill, they have they've gotten to a level that a lot of parents and kids want to get to, which is to play in a Division I men's tennis program and get a scholarship. So there's time to give back, and we do community-wide free tennis clinics and high school clinics, and we do hitting duels and sort of hit around with members and different USTA teams, and anything we can do to get our community to get to know our teams, the men's and the women's program, get out there and get to know them. They love it. They realize that these kids are special, and they sacrifice a lot to get to this level, and they get to know them, and they come and watch them play.
I love to hear that kind of lead by example type story where you take the reins and show these kids, you know, hey, we need to get out in the community so the community gets back into our program and gets involved with us. I think that shows these kids while they're there for 4 years that you've got to get involved, you know, in on both sides of this. And it sounds like that's what you learned through your whole experience as a college player and then as an assistant coach leading into the head coach atmosphere.
Yes, our guys really do a lot. They do a lot, and we ask a lot from them. And luckily now, it's a lot easier for them to buy into it because they see the result. They see the people out here. But when I first showed up, it was they had to sort of believe me and trust me that this would work. And I wasn't 100% sure. We did some things that didn't work. But that first team, the 2010-11 team, when I first came in, they deserve a lot of credit because they did it out of faith, and they immediately saw the results, and now it's sort of a tradition, and I don't have to do a lot of selling. Our guys are great, our community is great, very supportive, and the system is sort of in place, and it's something that is given our program as a lot of national recognition, and also something that has given our athletic department something to talk about the tennis team, and you know, I think when you're able to get involved with your local community, it gives you strength and it gives you power as a tennis program. As you know, in the 90s, we lost a lot of tennis programs, a lot of men's tennis programs, with all the shifting of conferences and people having to put more, athletic departments having to put more money into their football programs and their basketball programs where they were going to make money and being compliant with Title IX. We lost a lot of men's tennis programs, and we believe as an organization, the ITA and the tennis coaches, that if we become relevant in our community, whatever your community is, if you become liked and you're part of the community and you're offering something to the community, and especially their kids in the high school, something that that's going to make them better and give them a dream and a hope and get them involved. And it's a lot harder for the administrations to think about dropping that program. They may go to a different sport that may not be as involved with the community. So part of this whole movement is for that, is to become relevant in our community. And if we all do that in around the country, then as a whole, college tennis, men's college tennis, becomes more relevant in the country, in the nation.
I really like that idea, David, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. The community, since tennis is a lifetime sport, I mean, you and I both know that there are lots of people that play tennis as they age in the population and realize the value of it. You know, not only with the kids, but like I said, as they get a little older, and to have that link in a college tennis program between the two populations really is valuable. And you being a kind of an adopted Texan here, you realize that the UIL Texas tennis is very popular. And man, oh man, when you can bridge the gap, like I said, with a college tennis program between all of that, you've really got something special, and I think that's what you're creating up there in Fort Worth.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's coming from a very humble approach as tennis programs. There are a lot of different distractions for our kids these days. They can do, there's too many things to do, and with electronics, I mean, they're amazing what they can do just at home. And you know, men's basketball, women's basketball, they're going through the same process of they're losing attendance at some of these events and their college events, and so it's competitive out there. I will say that when it comes to college athletics, every parent that's one of the things that you start thinking from a very young age with their kids is how do I save, or what do I do so that my kids' education is either paid for or what gives them a better chance. And you know, a lot of them, athletics is a way to get involved in assure that your kids go to college. So I do believe, and the USTA is now investing a lot more money into college tennis. I do believe we have ways to go. I think the USTA is just tapping into a huge industry, and we could use more support. At the same time, this is the most I've ever supported college tennis as a federation, the USTA, and they realize that at the end of the day, college tennis is the carrot. That's the carrot that's going to get all these young families, get their kids involved in tennis and sacrifice and go to these tournaments and go to the state tournaments and travel all around the state, and then you travel all around the country, and then eventually internationally for some of them. And a lot of it is that college scholarship, or just having the opportunity to play college tennis, whether it's Division I, II, or III, or junior college, or NAIA. Not everybody gets to experience having that playing at a D1 level college. So that is the carrot. So if we didn't have, if college tennis was not relevant and we didn't have the numbers and all these players competing in college tennis, I do believe, and the USGA is now realizing that it would filter down to those younger kids, and that they would move to another sport, that they would have a better chance of getting a scholarship or playing Division I tennis. So we got to take care of college tennis, and we got to support it. And I know you mentioned that TV show with Tony Menes and Flo coming up here on the Tennis Channel, and that's just one little thing that's going to help give college tennis that relevancy at a national level.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. David, how many kids do you carry on your squad?
You know, we only carry 10. We only carry 10. That's the number that we're sort of asked. We can't have any more, and that's a huge challenge. Kills me to say no to so many players that have been playing tennis their whole life, and they've gotten to a very good level. Let's say they're 150 in the nation, or even 100 in the nation. We don't have a spot. We only have 10 spots. So it's a small team. It's a good number for us in a way, because it gives us a chance. We do a lot of work individually with our players. Each player gets at least 2 privates a week. So if the numbers were bigger, we wouldn't be able to do that. So I do, in that respect, I do like that number. At the same time, if we had more men's programs out there or really make the most out of these Division II and Division III programs in junior college, we can get more of American players involved in college tennis.
Your privates, are they an hour long? Is that what you mean by that?
Yes, we have a team practice every day and fitness every day. But besides that, each player will come at least twice a week to get an hour or hour and 15 minutes. We got to stay under 20 hours a week by the NCAA rules, so we can only go so long. But we believe that, yes, college tennis, what makes it so fun is that it is one of the only times that you get to play as a team, and that's what everybody remembers. On the other side, tennis is an individual sport, and what I may need to work on in my game may be completely different than what my teammate next to me needs to work on. So we use those private times, those individual sessions to be very specific as to what each player needs. It gives us an opportunity to get to know each other better, which kind of goes with the whole TCU theme, and what we sell is that your professors get to know you as well. So we do the same here at the tennis courts, and I've been lucky enough to been around the world and played at the highest level and coached at the highest level, and then also coached for the USGA at a national coaching level. So I believe that that's something that we can offer here at TCU, is that expertise and be able to work on one-on-one with our players.
Now, David, can you share with us your fall tournament philosophy? How many tournaments did you play? Did you play some USTA events? How was your regional, that sort of thing?
Yes, absolutely. Each, you know, we have 10 guys, so they all have a slightly different focus in the fall. We play, you're limited, for those that are not as familiar with the rules, we're limited to 25 events per player. And we typically play 20, 21 dual matches. So that gives us four tournaments, four events per player in the fall. So we always play the regional, the ITA regionals. We always play, or most of our players will play the ITA All-American tournament that's been hosted by Tulsa. And then, you know, our top players will go play futures and challengers. Our other players will play other college tournaments, like there's a tournament in Midland, Texas, that I believe is the best college tournament out there. They do an unbelievable job as a community to host the college players. They stay with families, and I think that's a learning experience on its own. So we always play that. And you just kind of play a little bit of musical chairs. But I would say our top guys will play the regionals, the nationals, the indoor, and then they'll play futures and challengers, whereas our guys that are not quite at that level will play another one or two college tournaments.
Now, how do you operate in the fall schedule? Are you looking at incoming freshmen and where they fit in the lineup? Are you looking at doubles combinations? How does this work for you in the fall?
Yes, that's it's the doubles. The whole doubles combination is a tricky. I feel like we don't get enough times during the fall to try new and to test new teams with the freshmen, or you may lose half of a team to a graduating senior, so you have to find that combination. And as you know, doubles, you can't just make two people gel. They need time, they need opportunities, and the games and their personalities must match each other and balance each other. And so that's definitely a tricky part in the fall, is to find those combinations. With the freshmen, we just give them opportunities. We give opportunities to all our players to go out and show what they can do and compete. And that's, those results in the fall. And we'll play one or two quick events in January to sort of get the Christmas turkey and gravy out of the way, and we'll play one or two events in January before the team season starts to give those another opportunity, and then we come up with the lineup. So we base our lineup on results and what they've been doing during the fall. We have the guys vote on it, and usually we're all on the same page. I've never had a problem where I thought a lineup was a certain way and the team thought it was another. Usually everybody kind of knows where they belong by the time.
Yeah. Now, when you bring your kids back in January, do you bring them back early? How does that work for you?
Yes, TCU starts, we're in the semester system academically, so we start January 13th is our first day, or 14th, that Monday. So we'll bring them on the 7th, a week early. This year we're going to Orlando. Nice weather. We're going to Orlando. Since we're playing the indoor kickoff, the ITA indoor kickoff team tournament, which is basically the top 64 programs are playing around the country, hoping to get to the Sweet 16 and play the indoor nationals in February. Since we're playing in Florida, we're playing Florida State first round, end of January, and that's going to be outdoors. We decided to go outdoors to get ready for that. So we're going to Orlando. Central Florida is hosting what they call a hidden duel, and we'll be playing with three or four other universities, Rice, Indiana, and Louisville. And you just play a lot of tennis for 3 or 4 days, get to train, get to do some fitness, and just kind of get back in shape for those players that didn't do their job during the Christmas break. And we'll play that as a team. We'll take all 10 guys to that event. Should be a lot of fun, a lot of tennis. And then the weekend after, we'll go to Southern California, to Palm Springs, to play another event there with four players. And then the third weekend is when the team starts. And that's going to be our first team match, will be against Florida State at Florida during the ITA indoor kickoff weekend.
Now, do you have several matches during the spring semester that you look at as kind of checkpoints for your team to say, these are kind of gauges to see where we're at?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you kind of look at the sort of indoor time when you travel around. Our first home match, obviously our crowds are better when the weather's nicer, and so we're hosting a big tournament in at the end of February, and that will get us started here at home. My philosophy is that if you want to be a top 10 program, then you got to beat top 10 programs. And so our schedule's very competitive. We play Last year, I believe we played 12 or 13 of the top 30 teams in the nation, or top 14 teams of the top 30 in the nation. So it's extremely competitive, and every match is huge because your national ranking is based on who you beat, and so you give your program opportunities to beat good teams, and then we'll do that, and then once April kicks in, then we'll get into our conference play, and that's, you know, every team's goal is to win their conference, and that's our goal. Our goal is to be able to beat Oklahoma, Baylor, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, and Texas to win the Big 12, and that'll be in April. So we sort of divide the season between, okay, this is our indoor kickoff to the Sweet 16 indoor tournament, then our non-conference schedule, which is usually February and March. We'll do a spring break trip to California or Florida every year, and then we'll play our conference in April. And every match counts. Every match is huge. And you could be ranked, as you saw last year, you get unranked teams beating teams that are in the top 15, top 16. So it's very competitive. The depth of college tennis is much, much deeper than it was when I played in college tennis. When I played in college, top 30 program, big difference from a team ranked 25 versus 50. Now a team ranked 50 can beat a team ranked top 25 any day.
You're right. You're right about that. And indoors, outdoors as well. You just never know any given weekend what's going to happen. And I think that the Internet allows a person to be shocked at any moment when those scores come in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the Internet has also allowed to open those recruiting a lot. It's a lot easier to recruit internationally. You don't need a huge budget now. You can just get on Facebook and find those players and tell them about your school and bring a kid from Georgia, the country of Georgia, come and play a one or two for you in a team that may not necessarily have the means to travel there, can get a top player and beat the top schools.
David, you've got a special deal happening for TCU in January that's going to draw a lot of interest towards the program. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening in January to TCU on the television?
Yeah, we're very excited, and we're so honored to be the school picked by Tony Menes and Flo and her production and Bill. They're starting a show called Inside Tennis. So it's a half an hour show. It will be airing in January during the Australian Open on the Tennis Channel, which I think it's great for us. It's great for college tennis. They did an unbelievably good job filming it and editing it. It's very professionally done. I think it's something that I hope the USTA and the ITA and those fans out there that want to support college tennis, that would be one way immediately to support college tennis, is to support Tony and Flo with their production and of this going around the country and just showcasing different college programs. And it's a half an hour show. Half of it will be about the men's program. Half of it will be about our women's program that's coached by Coach David Borelli, which is, as you know, one of the most animated and legendary coaches out there. He's been around for a long time. He's won 7 national NCAA championships at USC back when he was coached there. So there's a lot that we can showcase, and it gives us an opportunity to tell our story. Just like any other university, we'd love to be able to tell their story on national TV, on the Tennis Channel, during the Australian Open. So we're excited about it, and more than just about TCU, I'm excited about college tennis, because the bigger this hits and the more people are aware of what college tennis is all about, the better it is for all of us.
Yeah, this is the first program that the Tennis Channel's putting out there about college tennis, and I think that's a great thing.
It's awesome. Got to applaud Tony for going out on a limb, being the first one to produce a show like this. He's he's the host, and Flo and Bill are the producers. And right now they're doing it basically out of their own pockets. I mean, she produced the whole show, and she's, I know they're talking to the USDA. They're talking to some individual companies and possible individual people that want to support this cause of putting college tennis on TV, on national TV. So if anybody out there listening is interested, they're welcome to call me, and I can direct them the right way for us to support these people that want to showcase college tennis.
Well, I really look forward to it, and you know, I kind of hope in a way that it puts a target on TCU's back, that it lets everybody know that the history of this program, that it's got a lot of prestige involved with the program, and that these guys have a lot of fun, these ladies have a lot of fun while they're there, and that the university enjoys its tennis program.
Yeah, it's been a great run. Quick, you know, it's only been 3 years, but it's been a fun journey just to see where we were 3 years ago, and we're lucky that we didn't have to deal with some of the things that our past coaches had to deal with there for a little bit. So we don't have an excuse, Jason. We have everything we could possibly ask for. We have the support from the administration. We have this beautiful facility. We have a wonderful community in Fort Worth, and great state, great weather. We have the players. We have the sort of the coaches and the facility. So all it takes is just a lot of hard work and be able to share our story and our vision, just like some of those top programs have been doing. And the job that Peter Smith has been doing at USC, and Billy Martin at UCLA, Coach Bolin at Virginia, and Coach Center at Texas. I mean, these are, you know, Coach Steinberg at Pepperdine winning a national championship. I mean, that's tough. It's really tough, and I just hope that one of these days soon we can be in that same exact category.
Yeah, David, now I sent you a couple of questions before we got on the air, and I just want to, go through these just a little bit. We won't get them all. I know we'll run out of time here, but, you know, there at TCU attract a lot of attention with your national ranking and such. You know, and I'm curious how you maneuver through this international versus national perspective in regards to recruiting, and given your background, kind of what's your coaching philosophy on this? I mean, how do you view the international student versus the American student in regards to your recruiting?
Yes, that's, you know, it's a challenge, because I would like a team that's 80% American and 20% foreigner. Right now we're at 60-40, so we're not too far. It's not easy to compete at the top level and only have Americans. So that's the ultimate goal. I believe we're getting closer and closer. We were lucky and fortunate enough to get a top American player signed in November. His name is Trevor Johnson from L.A. I couldn't be more excited about it. He was recruited by every top school, and we fortunate to have him here. So that's a great way. And we have Nick Chappell from Indianapolis playing on our team. He's a junior. So we have been able to attract the top American players, but, you know, it's hard to be All-American. And there are a lot of great international players. And like I said, with the internet now and everything being so global, it's and way more education out there in Europe and in South America, they know about college tennis as well. So we do have four foreigners, mostly, or all of them are Latin, and I'm from Mexico, so obviously I'm a little prejudiced, or it's easier for me to recruit the Latin. I can speak Spanish with them, and they feel comfortable, and I can explain them in their own language and their parents how college tennis works. So we're basically half American and half Latin, or 60-40, and I know there are other teams that have the German connection, or they have the Brazilian connection, or they have the Eastern European connection. And it's just a global sport. And that's part of, you know, I worked for the USDA, so I came from a mindset of what can we do to help American tennis. And I know this is a hot topic and something that everybody's always wondering. And I hope that here at TCU that we can be just a small a small part in getting those top American juniors up to the world ranks and develop the next John Isner and develop the next Sam Querrey and the next Ryan Harrison through TCU. So that's a personal goal of mine, is to use TCU and our resources to produce the next top American players. That would be ideal for me. I do believe Trevor someday could do that, as well as Nick Chapel. So we're doing a little small part, and I know a lot of college coaches are on the same line, and it's challenging. We need more American players playing at a younger age, and it's all connected. You know, you talk about 10 and under tennis, this whole new move from the USGA to get more kids involved, that's going to affect us, and we would love to have more American tennis players play. And I know that's a great argument. We're a public school, so it doesn't really matter, but some of these public schools, taxes, why is it going to a foreigner? I mean, that you could talk hours about that. But I do think that foreigners and internationals bring your team is better off with some internationals than without it. It's all cultural. I believe we have to be global, and that's part of the education for all our players. And they learn from each other. They see that Texas is not the whole world, and that the United States is not the whole world, that there's people out there just like them doing the same thing in Argentina and Germany and wherever. So it's a great education, and it opens up those doors for the future. Our foreigners, they bring a different mindset. They're great work ethic. They appreciate things. They can't believe when they walk into a college campus, into their facilities. A lot of them, the comment that they make, they say, this tennis facility, this athletic department is better than our national tennis center back in their country. So the resources and the system that it is, the college tennis system, it's the richest in the world. There's a lot of resources, and therefore it gives us a lot of power to develop the next champions.
You know, David, you bring up an interesting point. Let me ask you this about American tennis, I've been doing this for a while, and you know, I ask my college coaches a lot of times, I mean, are we getting the right kind of athlete in tennis? And I mean that. I mean, you know, tennis is not the number one sport in America. And when you look at Nadal, when you look at Djokovic, even Andy Murray, I mean, these guys are tremendous athletes, and I think they would compete with some of the great football players that we've got, some of the great basketball players and athletic competitions. But I can't say the same for Isner. I can't say the same for Fish. I can't say the same for Bradley Kahn. I can't say the same for some of these guys. We're not getting the best athletes in tennis. Is that? Do you see that, or am I off base here?
Yeah, well, I mean, man, that's a tough question. You know, when I was with the USGA, I think every day somebody would ask me that. And obviously, if we knew exactly how to fix it or how to deal with it, we would. And I do believe that the USGA, the player development, they work so hard in finding those great athletes and getting more athletes involved. And then when they find them, to develop them and work their butts off. I mean, that's definitely, it's not from lack of effort, that's for sure. I do believe a lot of things happen at the same time. I mean, definitely the world became more global, and the Eastern countries became more of a player into this. When those back in the day, it was basically Western Europe, the United States, Australia, and England and Great Britain with some South Americans. And now it's every country can log on the internet and get a great coaching advice. So it's become way more global. As far as the athletes, my philosophy is that part of it is that, number one, anybody can coach tennis these days. Anybody can teach tennis, which is great because it gives opportunity to somebody to make some money and have a career. At the same time, there are some teachers and that are teaching our youngest kids and introducing them to tennis, and they don't have the education. They don't have the experience. to be working. I have a story about here in Dallas, a tennis coach going to a bank every second day or so and depositing checks for a year or 2 years, and finally the bank teller asked, you know, what do you do? You bring checks all the time. What do you do? Oh, I'm a tennis coach. I teach at this public tennis center. And, oh, really? What do you do to that? No, I just rent the courts and teach. So the bank teller quit his job and became a tennis coach at the same public center and is now teaching tennis. And he's been doing it for years. And this kid had never hit a ball in his life, yet he's making a living teaching tennis. So that's maybe an exaggerated a case, but that does affect us eventually. I believe that tennis, it takes a long, long time to be good. It takes a village to create a champion. It's not, you don't just drop them off and go play basketball with your team or football. The parents, it takes a very involved parent to get their kids through the system. That means your weekends are gone as a parent. You got to sacrifice a lot. You got to have the economic means to be taking them from tournament to tournament and getting them in different programs. So it still is expensive, and it takes a lot of involvement from the parents. And we lose a lot of younger kids because a lot of the parents, they either can't or they're not willing or they don't want to sacrifice every weekend. Let's say in Texas, I'd rather be hanging out at the country club with my friends and taking my 9-year-old son 8 hours away to Laredo to go play 2 or 3 matches and then come back. So that part, hopefully we can find a solution to that. I do believe that 10 and under tennis is going to help a lot with the development and the enjoyment and getting the ability for the younger kids to feel what it feels like to play tennis. It's a very tough sport. I would argue that it is the hardest sport to be good at. And the fact that we can't coach them at a younger age, if I was in charge of tennis, I would allow coaches to coach 10 and unders, 12 and unders, maybe 14 and unders, to give those athletes a better chance to win tennis matches. I believe that at a younger age, a kid that plays tennis halftime and basketball halftime, let's say he's just purely athletic. Well, he's going to have more success in football and in basketball than he will, even baseball, than he will in tennis, because tennis requires more skill. And let's say in football, if you're fast, well, you just run down and catch that ball or grab the ball and start running. And so he's going to get that confidence a lot quicker, that satisfaction. He's going to realize, I have something special. Where in tennis, going to lose to another kid that may not be as athletic, but has been taking lessons forever and it's got the perfect technique and that they can make 10, 12, 15 balls in a row, and this athlete doesn't really know what's going on. He's just a good athlete and just hasn't really developed the skills. They lose at a younger age, and therefore they go and play the other sport, which they know they're already good. Does that make sense? And I think some of that coaching at a younger age could keep those really good athletes and give them a chance of more success at a younger age, so they stay with tennis. And
well,
I don't know if
I
made any sense, Jason.
Well, you know, you just compare it to, if you go to a Little League baseball game, you go to these Pop Warner football games, or even a Little League soccer match, and just say that you didn't allow coaching there. I mean, how wild and crazy would these games appear without that organized coaching? I mean, and if you would just let some of that happen on the tennis court, how much more advanced would these kids become by the time they got to be 14 and 16, and how many more American champions would we have by the time we got to that 18 to 20 range, just because we kind of advanced our thinking at the younger ages? And I understand what you're saying here. It's just been kind of old-fashioned for such a long time in regards to the way we've approached this, and we've got to And we're in the process of changing some of this thinking, and I hope that it does work out in the long term. There are several different viewpoints on all of this, you know, with the balls that have changed, and is it a good idea, is it a bad idea? Long term, that's the only way we're going to find out. We had to make some changes, you know, I mean, in the times that you and I grew up, we had Agassi, Chang, we had Sampras, we had Courier at the top of the top 10. We had four players there. Now when you look at it, we're not even close to the top 10 at all. And Americans are,
right.
are hungry for that, and so there had to be a change that was made. I got one last question for you, and you were down at the ITAs, the way I understand it. You walked out of there, and you had a different format come out of there for the men's Division One, and I'll briefly explain it, and I want to know if you were for or against it, or kind of how you felt about it, but. In the dual meet, you're going to have three doubles matches played first, worth 1 point, followed by six singles matches, each individual match worth 1 point. The doubles points worth a total of 1 point. Three doubles matches will consist of one set to six, changing it instead of 2-8, with no ad scoring, which is different, and a tiebreaker at 5-all, which is different. Once a team has won two doubles matches, the remaining doubles match shall not be completed, which is different. Let's see here. Six singles matches will follow the doubles. Each singles match is 2 out of 3 sets, which each set using no ad scoring, which is different, and tiebreaker at 5-all. Now, understand that this, the way I understand it, is to be played from January 1st to February 17th, so it's not the whole semester, but... help me out if I didn't get it all right, but what's your feelings on that change, David?
Yeah, well, I think change is good, and experimenting it's a good thing, especially with the way the athletic landscape is changing. I believe every sport, baseball made some adjustments to make it quicker. So we want our sport to be able for somebody to come in and what the number is that. They could come to a tennis match and watch the match in 3 hours. And some of our matches were going as far as 5 hours. So say, okay, how can you accomplish that? How can we find different formats that can keep the integrity of the game, give the best player the opportunity to win the match, create a fun environment, enjoyable experience for the fans, which I think that's the biggest key, is how do we make it fun for the fans. So, I mean, there were so many formats being thrown out. This took literally 6-8 months for people to agree. I do think that we are keeping the integrity of the game. I like the fact that we do play three full sets in singles. I love the fact that we're still playing doubles first. I think doubles is one of the most fun and best parts about college tennis. So what are we sacrificing is just a little bit on the no-ad and at 5-all, playing tiebreakers on 5-all instead of 6-all. To me, there's small adjustments. I'm hoping that it does cut enough time to where that's all we need to do because we don't need to cut it anymore. That's the hope. This is an experiment. The women's college players, they will, as an experiment, they're actually playing a 10-point tiebreaker for the third set, so we'll see how that goes. So we'll play another format, which is a TV match, college match day. USDA is running that. We'll play Texas on March 1st, and that's where we play singles first. And then in case it's 3-3, we'll play doubles. So We're experimenting. We're trying all these different formats for the first 6 weeks. Not going to affect the conference matches. Not going to affect the NCAA championship. We should have a lot of data. I am for these changes. I believe it's something we need to look at. We have had programs being dropped, and attendance is not amazing at all the tennis programs. So hopefully coaches can use this and work really hard at getting people out to the matches. I do think that it takes a priority by the tennis coach to make it a priority to bring people out, regardless of how good you are or how bad you are, you just make it fun and bring people out. We're lucky that it's we have a great place, and it's a lot easier for us than for other programs. I understand that too. But whatever it is that you can make your program a little bit better, I do believe that this format will allow for us to keep the fans longer and make it very exciting. I played NOAD in Davis Cup. I played a lot of matches. I played 4 or 5 Davis Cup matches with the NOAD, and I found it very exciting and very good for my focus level during the match. I tell the story that when I was playing NOAD, I was playing against Peru, and we had won the first set, and we were at 4-all in the second set, and I realized at that point I hadn't missed a first serve yet. And I believe the reason I hadn't missed a first serve is because I didn't want Luis Orna to have a chance to hit my second serve and therefore possibly getting low 15 or to 30 or to 40 because of the no ad. Every point became much more important. I think that's going to be great for our college players, that they realize the value of 1 point, because at the next level, in the pro level, each point is huge, and you can't allow to have a mental lapse when you're serving. You give that to Isner, to Djokovic, Nadal, any of those guys, you have a little mental lapse on your service game, there goes the set. So I do think it's a good for the development of our players, and it's going to make it very exciting for the crowd.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see how these changes have an effect on college tennis. You know, I think you're right. We've got to keep them down to around 3 hours to keep the fans around, and we'll see what happens here, and we'll keep up with you guys, that's for sure. David, I want to thank you for coming on today. It's been a joy talking to you, and I can't wait to see that TV show in January.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate what you're doing as well, supporting college tennis by having coaches like myself in the radio. I hope you get lots of college coaches out here talking about what we love and the greatest system out there, which is college tennis. I can't wait to see it as well in January. So that's going to be fun for everybody, and I appreciate all the support, and we're looking forward to this season coming up.
You bet, David. Now, if you would, leave us with your website address and an email address if somebody wants to get in touch with you.
Absolutely. Our website for TCU is GoFrogs, GoFrogs.com, and then you can find the men's tennis program. My email address is D as in David, just D.Roditi, R-O-D-I-T-I, at TCU.edu. So D.Roditi at TCU.edu, and I love to hear from everybody and I love to talk more about college tennis. If there's anything I can help, just again, if you are due to NCAA rules, if you're a high school age player, you have to be a junior for me to be able to communicate via email. I can't talk or answer any parents or kids' questions if they're under junior year of their high school year.
Thanks so much for coming on, David. Have a Merry Christmas and a great break.
Thank you, Jason. Happy holidays to you. And one thing that I will say for those tennis players out there that's very important, with this whole homeschooling system, we're finding out a lot of little schools and homeschool programs and internet programs that are not certified by the NCAA. And it's constantly changing. So I hate to see players thinking that they're okay and they're doing online schooling with uncertified programs out there. So make sure that they look into it and they call and ask questions before it's too late.
That's a great point, David. We've had that come up several times on the show. It's a great point.
It's become very, very popular in a bad way. Too many players, great players, top national players, thought they were okay. It turns out their high school program had been dropped by the NCAA 2 years ago. So that means the last 2 years, it's as if they weren't going to school. So make sure that they stay on top of it and ask a lot of questions.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Have a great break, David. Thanks so much.
Happy holidays, Jason. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You bet. Bye. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. David Roditi, He's an outstanding coach there at TCU, and I know you're going to hear many good things about that program. Make sure that you tune your TV, your DVRs, to the Tennis Channel in January. They're going to have a wonderful show about the TCU, about the men's program, about the women's program. You're going to hear from one of our former guests, Tony Minnis. Tony will be on our show, our next live show in January, January 8th. He'll come on to talk about how this show got started, who started it, what's going to happen with it, how they're going to keep going with this program. It's a great idea. We need more college tennis programs like this. We need to talk about college tennis at the Division I level. We need to talk about these small college tennis stories. All these programs that are out there, get these ideas, these programs out there, these coaches, these stories, these player stories, all of these programs out there, and let people know what's happening in the college tennis world. And just keep your ears out there and keep your tennis balls flying these next couple of weeks. I know it's hard during the holiday season with the weather and such, but please get out there and hit some tennis balls. Have a great holiday season, and I'll catch you back in 2014. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.